For the last 2 weeks, we talked about this one thought about the word believe, believe. We're going to build on that thought, not today talking more about believe, but we're going to take you on a journey of what you do after you believe. And then next week, we'll kind of button it up before our missionary friends come and be with us in 2 weeks. Again, for the last 2 weeks, we've talked about the necessity of why you need to believe. You can't even be born again unless you believe. You don't enter into a relationship with Jesus because you think it'd be good to be a Christian. You don't enter into a relationship with Jesus because you do some good things. The Bible says you've got to believe in your heart and you've got to confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin, turn toward Him. Acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. When you do that, you're born again. But it starts with you actually have to believe that. We also said that the only way you receive promises of God, there's someone said hundreds and hundreds, I don't know what they said, how many promises, hundreds of promises there are in the scripture. The only way you receive the promises of God is you are required to believe it. You got to believe that God wants you to have it. You got to believe that this is available to you right now in 2024. We said this, that the definition of what believe means is that believe means to consider to be true or honest. That you're considering God, you're considering His word to be true and to be honest. It means you have a conviction, you have an assurance, you have trust concerning a higher law, and we said this is God's law. I see what I see with my natural eyes, I feel what I feel with my natural feelings, and yet we just sang a couple of songs this morning about the blood of Jesus will forgive all my sin, will cover all my sin and all my issues in my life, but here's the issue where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Do you believe it? And if you believe it, you think different. And if you believe it, you act different. And if you believe it, you expect different. And if you believe it, you live different. It all is going to hinge on what you believe. There's no problem on my side of the desk, if you will, from the authority of God's word. But the problem is on the other side of the desk is, Gary, will you believe it? Will you believe what the word of God says? And one of our mentors said this, that a man or a woman gets whatever they believe in life, nothing more, nothing less. It's not up to God. Well, if this is God's will, He'll just, no. God wills that all be saved, and not all are saved, because not all believe. So it's up to us to take what the word of God says is our rightful place, our rightful portion, our inheritance as children of God, and believe it. Work it into the fabric of our life. Change the way we think. Change what we do with our actions, our attitudes, our desires, our motives, our agenda, our purpose in life. We believe what God says and we work it out into every area of our life. Man, woman, rich, poor, old, young, makes no difference. The word of God as seed, when planted in the heart of a person, will always produce the fruit of that seed wherever you plant it. Can I get a better amen in the house? Come on, everybody. So after you believe, here's where we're going today. So after you believe something from the word of God, after you believe a promise, let's say it this way, you enter into another season. You enter into another season. Let's talk about that today. Almost always when we read the word of God, almost always after you believe something, you're now are going to be required to wait for it. Here is where the battle happens. You see something and your heart gets maybe encouraged. Maybe you're here in church and you hear the word of God and you go, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. I've been there. Hopefully you've been there in a church, reading the scripture, hearing a song. I believe it. But now it doesn't happen immediately and you're required to wait for it. What do you do then? Healing can come instantly or it can come over time. Provision, a job increase could be waiting for you in an email tomorrow morning, or it could be in the next 3 months or 6 months or a year. When it comes to peace in your life or believing God for a relationship, peace, it's already promised to you in the scripture. It can come instantly where God just takes that away from you. You have supernatural peace in your life and it comes, or it could become gradually as you grow spiritually, understanding I can walk peace out of my daily life. Either or, both and, it's still working, even though you believe it, most of the times you gotta wait for it. Or let's say it this way. you're going to have to learn how to stand for it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, stand. Come on, tell them, stand. Let's talk about it today. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Notice what Jesus said. Mark 11, 24. Come on, read it out loud. You guys read too good, so come on, read it out loud. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever things, according to the word of God he's talking about, not just like whatever things. Lord God, I'm believing for a Rolls Royce, a Bentley. I'm believing for a house in La Jolla, a house in Cabo, and a house in France. Is it the will of God? Have you got a scripture for it? No? Well, then just stop that stupid prayer right now. Now, you need a car? Got to get your car. Let's put some parameters around that. But whatever you ask God in prayer, according to the word of God, here what the word promises, and notice, he says this, look at that scripture, keep it up there, guys, will you? Mark 11, 24, look at this. Whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever things you ask according to the word of God, when you pray, you're required to pray. You're required to pray. One more time. You have not, James 4, because you ask not. You're required to pray about whatever you need, whatever thing you need. You got to believe God is, Hebrews 11, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So maybe, let's stop right here. Maybe you're believing something. You're thinking you're believing something, but you've never prayed about this. If you've never prayed about it, even though you kind of want it or wish for it to happen, it's not happening. Because you haven't even asked him. You're just wanting something to happen. I wish my life would be better. Well, I wish so too. Have you prayed about it? Have you been specific about what you want better, what you want changed? If you won't pray about it, you're not even going to get God's attention. So he says, whatever things you ask when you pray, then what do you do? Come on, what do you do?
Believe.
What do you, come on, what do you do?
Believe.
You believe. You believe you receive when? You believe you receive them things you prayed about. Right now, I believe I receive. Come on, say it with me. I believe I receive. But now, you believe. Good. You believe. I believe. But now I'm entering a new season. And you shall have them. And you shall have them. And you shall have them. One more time. Come on. Come on. Let's grind down. And you shall have them. The prayer you pray is going to be answered. The need you have will be supplied, but it's going to be supplied in the future. The future could be the second after the prayer is answered. It could be a minute. It could be a day. It could be a week. How long will you stand for what you said you believed? So what do you do? Again, what do you do between the believing time and the receiving time? It's called the standing time. I got to learn how to stand. So look on the screen real quick again. Even if you believe it, but you don't learn how to stand until it comes to pass, you're never going to see it. You're never going to see it. We live in a I was just thinking about this yesterday. I bought I went to Costco and I got some of those, what are those things, those frozen things I ate them last night? What are they called? Little spring rolls. I got some spring rolls at Costco and we they're frozen. And so I get them out and I'm a little bit edgy. Things got to move real quick for me. And so they said in the back, you know, what to do, put them in the oven for, you know, turn the oven on 400 for 25 minutes. And I'm going, too long, right? Too long. And then in the microwave, and Kimberly said, don't put them in the microwave. It's just, they're going to be mushy, and it's just not going to be good. So she said, we got an air fryer. Put them in the air fryer. Come on, anybody got an air fryer? Air fryer is God's gift to man, let me tell you. We love the air fryer. We living in that air fryer. We cook vegetables in the air fryer. We cook chicken in it. We cook fish. Anyway, sorry. I'll give you a code that I'll get 15% off if you buy it. I'm kidding. It'll go for Heart for the House. No, I'm kidding. A little promo code. That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? But Kimberly, you know, Kimberly said, put it in there, and so I did it. I did it, and they were really good, really crunchy. But then that was the first kind. But I made a bunch of them, and then I put the remainder in the fridge, and so I got them out again last night. And she said, put them in the air fryer. Air fryer takes 8 minutes. And so I put them in the microwave. And you know what I had? I had mushy spring rolls. But you know what I found out about mushy spring rolls? Everything is okay with soy sauce. Can I get an amen in a room? Love me some salt. Love me some salt. But we just don't like to wait. 2023, there's an article that came out about the graduating class in colleges in 2028. Graduating college students. Here's what they said. They said the graduating college students, and most of these, I don't know what universities that they were interviewing these kids, but they were frustrated because they had overestimated their yearly salary that they thought they were going to be paid by $30,000 a year. And here's what they talked about. They talked about that these kids coming out of college now won't wait until their experience matches their productivity. They're frustrated with standing. I don't want to work 5 days a week. I want to work 3.5, and I want to get paid for 5. Sorry, young generation. We love you all. We love you all. But here's what we're finding out is that this, the reality, scripturally, is that you have to learn how to stand while you wait. You got to learn how to stand while you wait. I'm convinced that standing is a, what I'll just call it this way, is a spiritual art. It's a learned spiritual behavior. Amen. Similar to if you've ever been water skiing, or you've ever been, we could even say paddle boarding and skateboarding. You get on something that's moving. The water on skis is moving. The water and a paddle board around you is moving. The skateboard, the terrain of the land is moving as you're rolling. You got to learn balance. You got to learn how to stand. Scripturally speaking, you got to learn how to stand and navigate seasons that you're in when things are shaky around you. You got to learn how to, listen, when nothing is moving, it's easy to stand. But when things are shaking around you emotionally or physically or financially or maritally or your kids or economically, or some people right now can't figure out what's going on with the next president and they're freaking out and they're not knowing how to stand. So let me encourage you. Standing looks like this. Perseverance. Endurance. Tenacity, just not being moved. Just make up. We used to sing this song, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I like a tree planted by the waters. Oh, I shall not be moved. Okay, everybody now. I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. See, this side's doing a whole lot better than y'all over here. Look, here's my group over here. These guys are singing. You guys are going like this. I ain't going to sing. What you doing up there? We still love y'all over here. That's Psalm 1, right? We're planted by rivers of living water. We're not going to be moved. Come on. We're able to navigate change and seasons. And stand. After you believe, come on, after you believe, what do you got to do? You got to stand. God came to a prophet, God sent the prophet Isaiah to a king to warn this king about the enemy's plan and attack. A lot of scripture, wants you to see it. Maybe you haven't ever read it on the screen, Isaiah 7. When Ahaz, the son of Jotham and the grandson of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Syria, and Pekah, I don't know if I'm saying the brother's name right, son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, set out to attack Jerusalem. However, they were unable to carry out their plan. That's good news. The news had come to the royal court of Judah, and here was the news. Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, and like trees shaking in a storm. How many know their ground is shaky? Then the Lord, verse 3, said to Isaiah, this is the prophet, take your son, Shear Jashub, and go out to meet King Ahaz. You will find the king at the end of the aqueduct that feeds the water into the upper pool near the road leading to the field where cloth is washed. God knew exactly where that brother was. Verse 4, here's a word for somebody in the room. Tell him to stop worrying. Here's another word for you. Tell him, her, he doesn't need to fear the fierce anger of these two burned out embers, King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Ramlia. Verse 5. Yes, the kings of Syria and Israel are plotting against him. Yes, they are plotting against you, saying, we're going to attack Judah. We're going to capture it ourselves. And we're going to install the son of Tabeel as Judah's king. We're going to take one of your brothers out and we're going to put somebody else in there. Verse 7, but this is what the sovereign Lord says. This invasion will never happen. It will never take place. Come on, how many know that's a word for somebody in the room right there? Come on, whatever you're facing right now, this is a word. It will not take place. For Syria is no stronger than its capital, Damascus, and Damascus is no stronger than its king, Rezin. As for Israel, within 65 years, here's a prophetic word. He said, within 65 years, it's going to be crushed and completely destroyed. Happened. Jeremiah prophesied that as well. Stick with me. Israel is no stronger than its capital, Samaria, and Samaria is no stronger than its king, Pekah, the son of Ramia. Here is key. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. Unless your faith is firm, God said, I cannot make you stand firm. A couple different translations. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Another translation. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Would you say this with me as an act of faith? I believe God. Number two, I believe God's word.
I believe God's word.
Good. Now you are required to stand in it. Stand because of it. I don't doubt that you're a believer, but listen to me. How good are you at standing? And let me tell you what standing's going to do. Standing's going to change and get that funky look off your face. Standing is going to get you solid instead of, well, I don't know, James 1, I'm a double-minded man or a woman, unstable in all his ways. I believe God will, but I'm not feeling like he's showing up. You are unstable, and you are going to wait forever until that thing comes to pass, and it might not ever come to pass because God's waiting for you and your faith to stand firm. God can't make you. You make you stand firm. Can I get an amen in the room? So we got to believe this, even though there's opposition, even though, come on, this is what the prophet said. The prophet said, listen, the prophet said, Isaiah prophesies to him. Isaiah tells him, look at verse 7. Guys, will you put verse 7 up again? Come on, look at it. Look at verse 7 again. I know we read it, but come on. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Here's the word of the Lord. We would say, this is the word of God. This is the rhema, the spoken word of God. This would be logos. This is the logos. This is the written word of God, right? The invasion will never happen. It'll never take place. But now, you gotta believe that. You got to stand against it when the enemy comes out against you, when it looks like time's working against you. You got to believe that and stand in it. Come on, everybody. 2 Chronicles 20:20, the Bible talks about this story about a guy named King Jehoshaphat. And he wakes up one day and all these enemies are all around him, all these enemy kings. Five enemy kings come out against him. And they prayed, they fasted, and they sent, a prophet comes up, and a prophet says this is one word in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. He says this, stand still, come on, everybody, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who's with you. Come on, everybody, stand still, stand still. Stand still. Don't let your mind be all crazy. We'll talk about that in a minute. But listen to me. I believe this with all my heart, based on these two scriptures that we read, that God stands with you as you stand with him. Come on, I bet God stands with you. He's with you. He's not going to make you, but he's with you. When you stand, he's there. Unless your faith is firm, I can't not make you stand firm. So you got to work on your faith. You're going to work on your who are you trusting up in this situation? Are you trusting the economy? Are you trusting the lie your body's telling? You trusting whose report are you believing? I decide to believe the report of the Lord. Come on, everybody. He's with me. Come on. I love this. Again, we've been talking for, I don't know, a year and a half, and just saying the importance of just reading the Bible every day. Just digesting the Word of God, getting the Word of God, getting your life filled up with the Word of God over and over and over. Because when you feed on the Word of God, you will actually become what you're feeding on. That's the problem with whether you believe the brother or not, or you like him or not, is irrelevant. But Brother Kennedy, that's going to be on Trump's team right now, the brother is 70 years old, and he looks like a dude that just came out of a Hulk Hogan camp. Come on, everybody. He's a 70-year-old buff, brother, and he's all about nutrition and all that stuff, and he's going to try to get America, come on, fit and lean again. Come on, everybody. How many of that would be a good idea? Come on. Come on. Mr. Kennedy's coming for your fat. Come on, everybody. Let's go. And what he's trying to do, not really come for your fat, but because the industries are putting bad stuff in food. And come on, what they found out, they're putting all kind of colored dye and all kind of junk in the food, and the same products they're selling us, y'all read about that, the same products they're selling in America, they ain't selling them same products in Europe because it's against the law to be putting that stuff on the kids in Europe. But guess what we say? Give me some Cocoa Puffs that ain't got nothing good in it. Come on, everybody. Give me some Captain Crunch. Anybody like Captain Crunch? Come on. Whoa, help me, Lord. Wow. We're going to get lean in January when we fast and pray. Come on, everybody. We're gonna beat Captain Crunch out of our soul. So he's going to help us. That's going to be one of his jobs, right? Because listen, whatever you eat, that's who you are. That's what they say. Somebody said, that's what they say. I don't believe it. I'm not standing in that. But how many know some things, whether you believe it or not, are really true? And they're going to work in you, work against you. So he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because God's going to stand with you as you stand with him. So I'm going to side in with what God says. I'm not going to side in with what my mind's telling me. I'm not going to side in with what my past is telling me. I'm not going to side in with, I didn't win this battle last time. But you know what? It's a new day today. Come on, everybody. You know, like if you're from the country, they say, come on, old dogs can hunt. Come on, everybody. They say, come on, you old dog. You've been around for a bit. Come on. But come on, you can still hunt. You can still go get a rabbit. You can still go jump a bird out of a bush. Some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about right now. How about this thought from Psalm 119? It says this, forever, let's read this, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Come on, can you read that with me? Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Do you believe that? Yes. Settled means this. Check it out on the screen. Settled means it's taken the most upright position. Settled means it's taken the most upright position. It's been fixed. Is the word of God the most upright position in your heart? Or what is that? What is taking that place? What is that place? Is it the word of God? So my job every day is as I'm reading the Word of God, and I come to one of those things, and I go, wow, that's a challenge. I'm not walking in that. I got to say, that's settled. That's settled with you, Lord. I want it settled in me. So I've got to start thinking something different. I got to start thinking something different so I can stand when everything's moving around me, because I really want to have this. but I'm required to believe it, and now I'm required to ask God for it, and now I'm required to stand in it when I don't see any evidence that it's actually working in me or working for me. So when it comes to this, part of this is that forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, that you and I are required, scripturally speaking, to stand against whatever is coming against you, coming against your body, coming against your mind, coming against whatever it is. Whatever, just because it's coming at you, doesn't mean it's God's will and doesn't mean he doesn't care. He does care. He loves you as a child. He's for you. His heart's extended towards you. But now, you and I got to stand in what we say we believe. So we've read this scripture multiple times, and probably a lot of you in the room know this passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. But let's just look at a couple scriptures just reminding ourselves. Verse 11 says this, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what?" Stand. Come on, stand. Do what? Stand against. What? The wiles, strategy, schemes of the devil. So the Apostle Paul tells the church at Ephesus, and he tells the folks here at Spectrum this morning, and everybody online, he'd say, here's what you got to do. You got to put on the whole armor of God. And he lists it. We haven't got time to read it today, but go ahead and read it this week. Put on the whole armor of God so that you're going to be able to do something you're not able to do right now. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles, strategy, schemes of the devil. Let's just say it this way. If you don't, you won't. If you don't put it on, you won't stand against. That's what he says. And he tells us just one piece of the armor that we'll talk about this morning. He says, take the helmet of salvation. Here's the phrase I want you to see this morning. Take the helmet of salvation, but here's the phrase. And the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul is drawing an analogy to the Roman guards and what they had and the armor and all the stuff that they had on their life, on their body, excuse me. And when we think about the sword of the Lord, I don't want you to think about some 4-foot, slaying the dragon type of sword. That is a kind of sword. But the sword Paul's talking about here is about an 18-inch sword that these Romans were well-versed at intimate, face-to-face combat. So if you've ever seen any... I like violent movies. I don't know. Pray for your pastor, okay? So I just like it when the bad guy gets taken out and the good guy wins. And so he's talking about some dude that is close-to-close combat, and he's got an 18-inch sword, and that brother knows how to take care of business. And this is the sword of the Spirit that God has given you, which is called the Word of God. So, the Bible is telling us, Paul is telling us, the Spirit of God's telling us, you don't have to be afraid when you believe God and you are coming up against whatever is coming against you, even if it gets right up in your face. I have given you a sword called the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that if you will wield it according to what I've told you, your enemy cannot stand. Amen. How do you wield this sword? Are we talking about, I'm getting in full jiu-jitsu mode with the devil? We're going UFC. Come on, everybody. We're going submission hold the devil. No. Here's how the sword works. You take the Word of God, you put the Word of God in your heart, and you speak it with your mouth. How did Jesus defeat the devil in Matthew? It is, come on, help me, church. It is written. Come on, one more time. It is written. You speak the word. Look, you speak the word. You declare the word. You confess the word. You pray the word. You sing the word. You worship with the word. Come on, everybody. Here's how you stand. Here's how you get you believing. Here's how you get you standing. And then you're going to start seeing some things change in your life. Come on, Galatians 5. Come on, you're listening too slow. Come on, look on the screen. Galatians 5. Stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of slavery or yoke of bondage. Stand fast, he tells them. He was specifically telling these Galatians, brother, you guys were Jews and you've been brought out and you've seen God save people. You've seen God deliver people, Gentile people. You've seen it. Now you're trying to go back under Judaism. Don't get back under the law. We would say it this way. You've believed. You've seen what God wants you to do. You've seen God answer prayers in other people's lives. Don't quit believing. Stand fast. Don't get under a yoke of fear, a yoke of worry, a yoke of uncertainty, a yoke I'm not worthy, a yoke I don't pray enough, a yoke I ain't got enough money for heart for the house. Forget all that. God loves you. Come on, everybody. He wants to answer your prayer, but you got to learn how to stand. Come on, can we say it this way? Anybody like me, I don't do real good on boats now. I find I got a little bit of seasickness or motion sickness. And last time I went fishing, I was laid down and puking the whole time. So I'm not doing that right now. But how many know you get off a boat? Anybody like me, you get off a boat for a while. And then all of a sudden, anybody like me, you come to land and you go, you get on the dock and you go, whoa, everything's kind of moving. And you go, ain't nothing moving. You're moving. Your mind is moving. Your equilibrium's moving. Listen to me. You prayed. You believed. Everything is working. Stand. Stand. Come on, everybody, stand. Don't get under that bondage again. Don't get under God doesn't love me again. Don't get under that stupid stuff. God didn't hear me. No, he heard you. He heard you. Let's start winding the plane down. Come on, I was thinking about yesterday, and I don't know how God talks to you, but he kind of talks to me so I can understand it. So I was kind of like going to kind of quit like right around here, and I just heard kind of the Holy Spirit say, Gary, would you just empty the tank a little bit? So come on, I just want to empty the tank with you for three more scriptures, all right? Why do you need to stand? In what parameters? Why is it so important? Why is this so important? I'm going to give you three scriptures, three stories as we wind this thing down. Carlos, come up here. Help me. Would you do that, brother? Come on. I need some elevator music up in here right now. Hallelujah. Brother Ray. Hallelujah. Where's Ray? I hear him right over there. Right over there. Oh, they're back in the back. Oh, there we are. Why stand? 2 Samuel chapter 23. There's a story about David's mighty men. And it says this, next to him was a brother called Shammah. Come on, everybody say Shammah. Son of Agi, the Hanarite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where he was in a field, it was full of lentils. Shammah's in a field full of lentils. All of Israel's troops fled. Everybody left. The enemy's coming. Philistines are coming. They all banded together. We're coming. We're coming to where you're at. We're coming to where you live. We're coming to your bean patch, one translation says. Lentils, harvest, full. Verse 12, Shammah took a stand. What's he do? Takes a stand in the middle of the field. And he defends that field and he strikes the Philistines down. And the Lord brought about a great victory. Notice who gets glory here. The Lord brought about a great victory, but Shammah stood. Listen to me. You're never going to get a great victory in your life unless you stand against the enemy. When does the enemy want to come into your life many times? Listen, there's not a whole lot of scripture about us trying to put what I'm about to say, like give me a chapter, give me a verse. But there are things that it sure seems that the devil has some spiritual insight into. And that when a man or a woman is about to experience breakthrough, as many of you have been before, it seems like before there's a breakthrough, all of hell tries to break through around your life. You're getting ready to come into a harvest season. Shammah is in there defending the harvest because the Philistines are waiting for an opportune time. They're not coming at the planting. They want to come when the planting and the growing, right before the reaping, we want the benefit of all your work and all your labor. And so what's God say? God strengthens this brother. Everybody else left but a brother named Shammah who knows how to do something with a sword. The word of the Lord, New Testament to us. Come on, everybody. Second story. In Genesis chapter 15, God comes to Abram and God's getting ready to make a covenant with him. This covenant is going to advance Abraham spiritually. He's going to know God in a deeper way. A covenant is an irrevocable agreement between God and man. It's always sealed with a blood sacrifice. So God tells to Abraham, and this is what Abraham does. Abraham gathers a heifer, he gathers a goat, a ram, a dove, and a pigeon. And he cuts the three animals in half, he leaves the birds whole, and he puts them all on the ground. And God actually walks in the middle of them as a burning fire and a furnace in the middle of the sacrifice and pronounces blessing, covenantal blessing on Abram's life. But listen, what I did purposefully was I left off part of the story. When he cut those animals in two, blood's everywhere, blood sacrifice, before God walks in the middle of them all, I should say, the scripture says this in Genesis 15, 11. Then the birds of the prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. God tells Abram, you get the covenant sacrifices. You cut them, you set them out, I'm gonna come down. And the enemy knew exactly when to come and take the sacrifice. Remove the covenant that will be sealed. Come and take it away. Listen to me. There's so many times in our lives, I believe with all my heart, that it's like God's wanting to advance us spiritually. God's wanting to press you in. God's asking you, would you show up to pray? God's asking you 21 days or 10 days or 3 days fasting and pray. Would you fast? Would you pray? And you're thinking, I don't know. The vultures are coming in to try to take your sacrifice. Thoughts are coming to your mind to try to take, and God's trying to advance you and bring discipline and spiritual blessing in your life. And you got to learn how to stand in the middle of that and drive off every vulture. Drive off every thought that comes to your mind. And you got to learn how to stand in the middle of a blood sacrifice. Rizpah, lastly, was one of Saul's concubines. Saul was a wicked king. He and his son Jonathan were already killed in the same battle. And the Gibeonites, where Saul just did some awful things to this tribe, David came to him and said, what do you want to do about what happened? I want to try to make it right with you. And they said, well, Saul's got 7 sons. Give them to us. We're going to hang them on a tree. David said, okay. We're going to end this curse. And so 5 sons were from one woman and 2 sons were from another woman named Rizpah. And both her sons were hanging on a tree with those other people. They didn't do anything necessarily wrong. They just had an ungodly dad. And that's interesting for families. And here's what it says that Rizpah did in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth. This is humbling herself. And she spread it on a rock. From the beginning of the harvest, notice, from the beginning of the harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. She did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day or the beasts of the field by night. Similar to what Abram did. She's standing there, listen to me, most people believe, at least 2 months. She's got burlap on a rock, rain's pouring down. She's driving off the vultures during the day and a woman driving off the beasts at night from stealing the bodies that were hung. The boys aren't coming back to life, but she says, I want to honor them even in their death. It got David's attention. David actually had them brought down and put in a tomb. Listen to me, one more time. You drive off the enemy, you drive off the vultures, you drive off the beasts from your thoughts, from your mind, and from your emotions. You do believe, okay, now you gotta stand and you gotta keep all this stuff out of your mind. You gotta keep all this stuff out of your heart. You gotta keep all this stuff out of your emotions. And you've got to be willing to take the sword of the Spirit and fight and say, this is what God said. This is what I'm gonna have. This is the will of God. I believe it. Now I'm gonna stand firm in it. Listen to me. After you believe God, you gotta stand before the harvest comes. After you believe God, you gotta stand before the promotion comes. After you believe God, you gotta stand when the enemy comes for your family. You gotta know how to stand. Gotta know how to stand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord when the enemy's surrounding you. Elisha talked to God and said, God, open up this brother's eyes, Gehazi. Let him see more our force than against us. And he opened his eyes and the mountainside was filled with the angels of God. Listen to me, God is with you. God is amongst you. Come on, everybody. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're not alone. Come on, baby. You're gonna make it. Come on, everybody. You're gonna make it. You're gonna fulfill the will of God. Yes, you are. Believe God. Believe God. Paul says, I believe. Come on the third day of a 14-day hurricane storm in Acts 27. I believe God. It will be just as it was spoken to me. I believe God. And I'm going to stand while this ship is in a hurricane and they're throwing stuff overboard and the ship's getting ready to get busted up. I believe God. Listen to me. How's your believer doing? Pretty good? Okay. How's your stander doing? Are you still standing? Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, so that you could be what Zerubbabel, what God talked to that brother with the book of Haggai, that you'd be able to shout grace to every mountain. Come on, everybody. I'm shouting grace, the power of God, to everything that comes against me. Come on, everybody. Am I talking to anybody in the room today? Come on, stand up all over the room, all over the room. Stand up. Come on, stand up. Father God, today we believe God. Come on, solidify that in your heart. I believe God. I believe God. I believe your word. Come on, just let your mouth move. I believe God's working for me. I believe you've heard me, oh God. I believe for my family. Come on, cry out like Rizpah. I believe God for spiritual advancement in my life like Abram. I believe God. I believe God today. Come on, for the harvest in my life. I believe in God. And so, Father, I'm standing in my harvest patch. I'm standing and driving out every Philistine, every enemy from my thought. I believe God. We're gonna stand firm, Lord. You can't make us stand firm. We make us ourselves stand firm because you said you'll make us, oh God. So we believe you. And we're gonna stand. We're gonna see. The word settled. It's settled. It's settled in us. This is the way it will be forever and ever. I believe God. I believe God. Come on, church. Come on, let's lift our hands, everybody. I believe God. We're just surrendering. I believe God. My hands are raised. Come on, our eyes are raised. We're trusting you, Lord God. Come on, Lord. Come on, everybody. I believe God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I believe God. We're standing in the finished work. We're standing in the promises of God. All your promises are yes and amen. We believe God. God. We believe God. We stand firm. We're fixed. We're unmoved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by how long it takes. We put on the whole armor of God. We can stand against the strategies, deceits of the devil. We put it on. We put it on. We stand fast in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. We're not going to be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. We're not going back. We're not going back. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We can know the truth. Now, Father, help us stand in the truth. Help us stand in the truth. Your word's settled. Let the word of God, Father, I pray, take the most upright position in our heart. Let it be fixed in us. That we have the greater one on the inside of us. Greater than our situations we're facing. The greater one. All over the room with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Come on, no one looking around. Just give everybody in the room the right to privacy. The question that needs to be answered, that only you can answer, is, do you know Jesus? Are you living for Jesus? Or are you on his side? Whose side are you on? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh? Do you believe that Jesus suffered and died? Do you believe who he said he was and who he is? Have you acknowledged him as your Lord and Savior? It's the only way to be born again, the scripture says. If you've never prayed that prayer today, or you're away from him, you've been your heart's beating, you're just like, I know I need to get some things right today. Come on, today's your day. Today's what the scripture says is a day of salvation. So we're going to say a prayer out loud. All of us, you won't be alone praying it. We'll all pray out loud. But a spiritual transaction is going to happen in you, in your heart, for you, those that pray this prayer, and you need it today. But before we pray that prayer, come on, just as an act of your will, an act saying, I'm not just going to pray something. I'm going to get my body involved. I want to raise my hand and say, yeah, I need God. I need God. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to receive exactly what he said is available to me. I'm going to be made new on the inside. All over the room, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Or maybe you have before and you haven't been living for him, but you want to renew that commitment. Come on, all over the room, when I count to three, just lift up your hand. We're going to pray. Something new is going to happen into you today. Come on. All over the room. Come on. One, two, three. Lift your hands all over the room. Say, I need Jesus today. I need Jesus. Come on. Thank you. One, two, three. Thank you. Four, five, six. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your hands being raised. Thank you. We're going to pray for you six specifically. Come on, everybody say this with me. You that raised your hand, you can put your hands down. See?